Thank you very much, Vivian Traynor.
It's the Ray Dassey Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Well, thank you very much, Dermot. Yes, it is the Ray Dassey Show, but the voice is slightly different because it's Shay Byrne sitting in for one day only that I've been released from the mornings. So please forgive me if, as I introduce or say hello to people, I'll say good morning. It's going to happen for somewhere in the next hour and 25 minutes. It's going to happen. But thank you to the team upstairs. We have an amazing show for you. We have the one and only Mr. Stanley Tucci. I got to meet him yesterday and have a chat with him. He's suave, sophisticated, and good fun as well. So we really liked him, and we'll have a listen to him in just a little bit. Scottish singer-songwriter Charlene Spiteri from the band Texas is going to be live on the phone with us, and we meet the Irish granny who's going on her second J1 working holiday. So looking forward to talking to Fiona. Now, summer barbecue season has begun. Well, it hasn't quite begun because we expect the rain to be better if you don't have somewhere to cover your barbecue. Regardless of that, we decided, even though the sun didn't come out, we're going to give you some tips to get ready for the barbecue season if you haven't already started. However, if you've been walking down past houses and housing estates where I live, at the park at the back, you go, that's a barbecue. You know, I'm like Homer Simpson. That's a barbecue. I can smell a barbecue. And go, oh, I'd love a barbecue. But do you really want to take the barbecue out and clean it? We're going to talk to Super Chef Mark Moriarty. He's going to be live in studio and he's going to be giving his tips to making the most of your barbecue. And because he's going to be live in studio, you can get involved if you want to ask him any questions. 51551 ray@rte.ie for your barbecue questions. Oh, he's got all sorts of tips about sausages and burgers and how to make skewers and vegetarian. It's going to be fabulous as well. Just looking on Twitter a little bit earlier, there's a Twitter user called Bulldozer, not Bulldozer, but his name is Bulldozer. And he writes, it's finally happened. Lego Ideas, which is a way of getting involved in Lego, has for Lego users, has finally allowed me to submit my design for a Muppet Show set. I've been trying to get this set made for 6 years now. Please, please, please help me make the Muppet Show a real Lego set. I thought it was a fabulous idea.
It's time to play the music. It's time to light the light. It's time to meet the Muppet on the Muppet Show tonight.
I think it'll make a great Lego set. You could see Fozzie and Kermit the Frog and my favourite character, Gomzo. I love Gomzo. I just think I'd love to have a Lego figure of Gomzo. What would you like to see made in Lego? 51551 array@rte.ie. Would you like to see Fair City, Room to Improve? Maybe the Reardons. Wouldn't the Reardons be lovely? A lovely farm set. Or Glenroe. Or Bracken. Or I had one. Wanderley Wagon. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Imagine Judge as a Lego figure. It'd be lovely. So, I think, let me know what you'd like to see as a Lego figure. Very sad news as well today. Not news, but just an anniversary that came through. On the morning programme, I often mention people who've maybe passed away. It's their anniversary or their birthday. And actually today, do you remember the British comedian Victoria Wood? Well, she would have been 70 years old today. She was such a highlight of weekend television and entertainment. She was a writer, producer, composer, a pianist, a screenwriter, and a great friend to loads of people. Remember her on Acorn Antiques, which she wrote as well with Julie Walters. Just fabulous. Well, she would have been 70 years old today. She died back in 2016. And she had so many strings to her bow. One of the songs that I play in the morning, and I just wanted to play a little clip of it for you. She's probably one of her probably best known songs, and one of the ones that she was loved for, because she was great talking about kids and about love and about married life and how things didn't always work out as you might expect.
The day I met you was a real heart wrencher. I thought that love would be a big adventure. Then saw the spinach on your bottom denture. Things would never have worked. I wanted champagne and oysters, 'cause that's the way I am. You gave me Vimto, tinned carrots and Spam. Rapport's a thing you just can't manufacture. You had your pin-up girl, I couldn't match her. I didn't want to, it was Mrs. Thatcher.
The late, great Victoria Wood on what would have been her 70th birthday. If you go onto Spotify or any of the streaming services, or go onto YouTube and put in Victoria Wood, I guarantee you'll have the funniest 5 or 10 minutes if you've just got a little bit of time. Now, this may have been familiar to you if you listened to Derek's Dawn Chorus 2 weeks ago. You might be in the car at traffic lights, you might be walking, you might have just collected the kids from school, you might be queuing at McDonald's at the moment.
No, you can't have a McFlurry!
No. Have a salad. Nobody ever said when they went to McDonald's. I just have the salad and a Big Mac. Well, in the Washington Post today, are you looking to improve your mood? One study said that the benefits persisted well beyond hearing birdsong. It was published in the Scientific Reports and said that seeing or hearing birds could be good for our well-being. If a participant reported seeing or hearing birds during the day, their mood was higher on average hours later. So if you listen to this, you're going to feel good for literally minutes. Literally minutes. A second study found that listening to short audio clips of birdsong could reduce your feelings of stress. I feel calmer already. And I've only had 3 cans of Coke. Fabulous. Ah, well, here's to the birdsong. And if you didn't hear Derek's wonderful dawn chorus, it's a group effort here in RTE. People go out and stay out all night. Reporters coming in. You can always go to the RTE website, rte.ie, and you can have a chance to listen back to that. But as usual on the show, we're going to start with a little bit of a song. Will Oasis ever get back together again? If Oasis got back together again, would you go and see the gig? I would say universally, I'm getting a thumbs up from outside. Yes, everybody would go and see the gig. Well, Noel Gallagher is going to be on the Late Late Show tonight, and I suspect Ryan might ask him that question. She's electric. She's electric from Oasis now. Shay Byrne in the afternoon. Did I have a long lie-in or what? No, my clock says 1 minute past 3. What's going on in this crazy world? Says Tom in Mallow. Morning. See, I did it. Morning. That's the first one. I have to pay €1 for every single one. Shay, it's way past your bedtime. For God's sake. Say, have a great show, says Deck. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Morning, afternoon to you, Deck. Crow Park would be an incredible Lego set. It would maybe a sectional one where you look at one side, or maybe you could pull them apart. A bit like the Millennium Falcon, because when you made the Millennium Falcon, you could actually pull it apart to look inside and see where Han Solo sleeps. What about Lego GPO? Is there one already? I think there might be a Lego GPO. We'll have to look that up. Or Lego Arsanukteron. Would there be a Michael D. Higgins there? Would you have a series of presidents that you could put in? Would you have a series of presidents? Dave said that as well. That's a good suggestion. And my Wanderley Wagon suggestion has gone down extremely well. Lots of people texting saying they'd love to see Wanderley Wagon. I think that'd be a fabulous idea. So here comes the wagon, Wander. Hello, how are you? Good to see you outside there, Emily. Who's that? No, Emily's looking at me going, I've never heard of that. That's Judge. For God's sake, you're making me feel old. Quiz time. And today we're going to give one lucky listener the chance to win a 2-night stay at Fota Island Resort for 2 adults and 2 children in a lodge with breakfast each morning, nestled at the heart of a peaceful island surrounded by gorgeous scenery and just 8 miles from Cork City. Pack your bags and escape to your own private island this summer with Fota Island Resort. There you go. Enjoy complete privacy and 5-star luxury in one of the 2 exclusive 2, 3 or 4-bedroom self-catering lodges. Perfect for family, groups of friends or fellow golfers. Or if you're down in that part of the country, you can go fishing, you can go to Cove. If you go to Cove, you can get the train into Cork. It's just a fabulous spot, and it is on an island, and Cove is there, and then you can get the ferry across to... Listen, the possibilities are endless. I love that part of the world. How do you enter? Well, you enter the usual way. You've got to answer a very, very difficult question. Mastermind style, really hard. Which TV duo have announced they're leaving their Saturday night entertainment show for the moment? Is it Ant and Dec or Zig and Zag? Which TV duo have announced they're leaving their Saturday night entertainment show for a little while? Is it Ant and Dec or Zig and Zag? Call us now, 0818. I can't read numbers. 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. And you could be near the end of the show winning that amazing prize.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
mother. Hello, father. Here I am at Camp Granada. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining.
That's Alan Sherman. That's called Camp Granada. Well, a friend of the show, Fiona Griffin, made a splash last year as the retired granny on a J1 visa working at a girls' camp in Wisconsin. It's not called Camp Granada, it's called Camp Clearwater. Well, her plans this year and this summer are to do exactly the same. And Fiona joins me all the way from her current location in Mexico. Fiona, how are you doing?
Good morning from Mexico City. I'm doing great, thank you. Thank you for having me on. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And from dancing and singing and eating fabulous Mexican food, you've taken the time to come on with. What time is it there at the moment?
It's 8:20 in the morning.
8:20 in the morning. You probably just come home.
Yeah. Oh, not quite. I wish I could say I had. But unfortunately, I came down with a chest infection when I arrived.
Oh,
so
no.
my nights out have been quite limited. I'm in bed for about 8 o'clock, and jet lag affected me as well. I haven't been sleeping well, so I'm a bit all over the place. But today is a better day already. I can feel it.
Yeah, you see, you've decided that it's going to be a better day, so therefore it is going to be a better day.
It is going to be a better day.
tell us the reason. You're from Tralee, but I know we spoke to you last year.
That's right.
But you're in Mexico at the moment. What brings you to Mexico?
So when I was in camp last year, I made some wonderful friends and lifelong friends, even though there was a huge age difference. And one of the girls, Beda Fernandez from Querétaro, 2 hours north of Mexico City, invited myself and another girl, Nora Karat from Hungary, to come to Mexico to her graduation on May the 27th. So as I had decided to return to camp in Clearwater this year as well, I said, well, look, let's go a bit early. I would come and visit Beda in Mexico first and then head on up to the States for a few days, holidays, before I started work in Clearwater Camp on around the 7th of June, I think it is. So that's why I'm in Mexico City.
Wow. So you're getting a chance to see the real Mexico because you have a Mexican person to guide you through it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So Beda has been doing exams and studying, so she was only able to come to Mexico City last night. And we're waiting on Nora to arrive tonight. And then we're heading to her hometown on Sunday after we see some sights. And Querétaro is about 2 hours north of Mexico City. And she's loads of things planned for us. And her graduation then is on May the 27th with a big party. And I'll have a few days with her after that. And Beda will be returning to camp as well, which is lovely.
Oh, to have some friends that you've made there and to know that you're going back to them as well.
Going back to them as well, absolutely. I know it's there's a great community feeling among anybody who works in camp, and it's quite hard to explain it. But it is like a family away from your own natural family.
It's that sense of being in the trenches together, I think, as well, that bonds people together.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, because you have to rely on yourself and each other when you're in camp and something goes wrong, or you're lonely, or you're upset, or you're homesick, or whatever it may be going on, or you might be having a difficult time with one of the campers, whatever it is. Yeah, so that's, you know, we support each other in that, it's a wonderful bonding experience.
And Mexico City, yeah. Just while we were talking about Mexico itself, what's Mexico City like? Because it is an enormous city.
Absolutely. So it's crazy, absolutely crazy traffic-wise. Now, I took one of the other Mexican friends, Kiki, took me out on Wednesday after I arrived. So we were in her car and, you know, went to different areas, went to a few museums. And then yesterday she was busy, so I took a bus tour myself. And like perfectly safe, everybody will say to you, everybody has said to me that I've met here, you'll be back to your hotel by 5 p.m. You're not out in the evening on your own. And I've done all that. And on a guided bus tour, you know, you're quite safe. So I saw lots of the sights yesterday in Mexico City, but I would have seen a lot more if the traffic wasn't so bad. And it took about 2 hours to get back to the hotel.
I know most people in Mexico speak some form of English, particularly in the cities. But how's your Spanish?
Yo hablo poquito español.
I think that's pretty good. I think you, I know you, I have a little bit of Spanish, so speak to me in English. That's essentially what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm saying I can speak a tiny bit of Spanish, just the basic words. Myself and my two friends, Steve and Marion, we learned Spanish for the last 6 or 8 weeks at home in Tralee, just because each of us love going to Spain. And, you know, just to have something. And Beda's mum does not speak English, so I'm going to have to make an effort to converse with her in Spanish.
But
and I think it's important when you're in another country to try and, you know, follow their culture, use their language, whatever little bit of it that you have.
I absolutely agree with you. But that's, I think that's in your nature, because you've done some training to upskill for this year as well.
I have. So last year I was thrown in at the deep end when I went to camp, and I had to teach archery. Now, I didn't know the first thing about archery. But anyway, I learned. And when I came back to Tralee, I joined the Tralee Archery Club, and I've loved it. So I've upskilled in archery. And then we have a lot of boats at Clearwater, because we're based right on Tomahawk Lake, which is absolutely so scenic and beautiful. It's just like Killarney. So I decided I'd love to try and drive a boat this year. So I've learned to drive a boat as well.
Oh.
Now, whether they let me on a lake in a pontoon or not, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But at least I have my certificate.
There were reports actually on the internet of somebody over 60 driving a powerboat in ridiculous speeds in the Tralee area. So,
I was Gregon Day in the Maharis. That was me.
People are very interested in this. And this question that's just come in as well. How did you manage to get a J1 2 years in a row?
I have no problem at all. I do believe myself, it's the type of work I'm doing. So camp counsellors is what we're called. I'm an activity staff member. It's a cultural homestay exchange. So because it's a cultural thing, I have no difficulty getting a second J1 whatsoever. Okay. Because I have a job before I go there. I have a sponsor before I even apply for the J1. That is all set up through an organisation called Camp Leaders, which are an amazing organisation. I have found them so helpful. And, you know, they guide you through everything. They talk you through each step of it. So that's how I've done it. Last year, when I first decided to have a bit of an adventure, I did a lot of Googling, and I came up with Camp Leaders. So contacted them, discussed what I wanted to do with them. They told me what they could offer, and we took it from there. You know, so, you know, and now I don't know about doing waitressing. I've never waitressed. So I don't know. I think a lot of the J1s, they get their J1 to do waitressing or restaurant work, and then they have to go and find a job, whereas I'm the other way around. I have the job and the accommodation and everything before I even apply for the J1.
My guess is that the camp are delighted to have you, because particularly in the United States, yeah, they will employ older people because they recognise the skills and life experience that they have. And particularly, I know that you were in the caring professions before this as well.
That's right, I was. Yes, and last year was the first year they had employed anybody of an older age in Clearwater Camp. And that's why they asked me back this year. They have assured me it was such a success, that I was such an asset to the team, you know, all of that. And then when they invited me back again, I gave it some thought. I said, why not? And they have employed another older lady this year as well, but she's a lady from Wisconsin herself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the oldest international staff going back this year. But look, it's great. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's just a whole different way of life out there. And because we're a no-technology camp, there's no newspapers, there's no radios, there's no TVs, there's no phones. You know, staff do have their phones in the evening or in their time off, but the campers who are aged from 8 to 16 do not have their phones on them. They have to hand over their phones when they arrive in camp, and they get them back when they're leaving. So it's, and the kids, you know, they love it, because especially the 14 to 16 year olds, they've commented like what a stress it is off them not to be on social media, not to be coping with whatever would be going on in their lives on social media. So that's another beautiful aspect of it. Now, I must say I was traumatised last year when I couldn't use my phone or have it in my back pocket. Because, you know, these days our phones are stuck to our back pockets. I found that a challenge.
You're
I got used to it.
You're away for a significant amount of time. And do you miss family when you're away?
I do, of course. I do. But, you know, I've given my whole life rearing my kids. I love them to bits. I have five amazing grandchildren. I'm getting a bit upset now because I lost my mother in October. And I came to camp last year knowing that I might have to come home. So thanks be to God. She was okay when I came home, but she deteriorated after that and she spread her wings in October. And that finally made the decision for me to come back to camp this year. If she was still alive, I probably wouldn't do this, you know. So, but yes, I do miss them terribly. But look, we FaceTime every week. I'm in constant contact at night or my time off with my kids and my good friends. We FaceTime, you know, so that helps. But then once you get into the routine of camp as well, and you reconnect with the girls that you knew from last year. And, you know, I'm back again this year sharing the cabin with Nurse Grace, which is wonderful. We got on like a house on fire, so we share a cabin. And Beth, the director, is a woman, an older woman as well, nothing in my age bracket, you know, and she has made such a difference to me to camp in Camp Clearwater last year. She was just a friend and a mentor. I could have gone to her with everything and anything. And I did, you know. And when I was quite taken, I was quite overwhelmed last year when my story got out. And, you know, I was able to go and talk to Beth about it. And we chatted out and see what I could do and what I couldn't do and, you know, all of that. So, yeah. But I do miss my family. And
I'm sure
they know
you do.
I miss them.
I'm sure you do.
And, but this is for me while I can still do it.
Yeah. Do you mind me asking what Mum's name was?
My mum's name was Nuala Griffin.
Nuala Griffin. And what age was she? Do you mind me asking what age she was?
Not at all. No. She was a wonderful age. She was 2 months shy of her 91st birthday.
Ah. Oh.
Yeah, and like that's where I get my adventurous spirit from.
Ah.
She was a wonderful traveller. She tried so many things. You know, she. I'm very lucky that she was my mother because I definitely have inherited that from her, that adventurous spirit.
Well, I think she'd be extremely proud of you. I mean that. She would.
Thank you. And she got a great kick last year out of hearing the radio interviews, you know, because I'm actually a trained wedding celebrant as well. And when I told her what I was doing and that I qualified, she said, "Dear Jesus, you'll be a priest next."
Well, nothing would surprise me with you, Fiona. Nothing would. And how's the wedding business at the moment? Obviously, you're in Mexico, but previous to that.
In Mexico, well, previous to that, it's been nice. It's nice and steady. And I'm not overwhelmed, but I'm not underwhelmed either. So obviously, I've taken a break for the summer. I have, haven't taken any bookings for the summer because I'm away and I want to do this. But I'm available to anybody from September on.
And if they're looking for you, have an Instagram page.
And so I do. And Ceremonies by Fiona for the wedding business. And for my retiree on the J1 visa is my Instagram handle for my adventures.
I'm just sending an email to our sales department to invoice you for that massive plug. Oh, well, Fiona, please look after yourself. You, I'm diagnosing over the phone as you speak, being the father of three children. I'm like, I just wonder, does she need an antibiotic?
Oh, I'm on them. Jeepers, I had a doctor on Wednesday morning here at the hotel. excuse me. Yeah, so I am on antibiotics and I'm on decongestants and I'm on a load of things for three to five days. So today's day three.
Okay.
There is an improvement already today.
So no, anybody listening in Tralee, family-wise, she's fine. She's on the mend. And you're looking forward to the graduation.
Yeah. I'm looking so forward to the graduation with Beda. And as I say, Nora's flying in tonight and meeting all Beda's family and her friends. And some of her friends know me from camp last year. So Beda has a lovely Spanish WhatsApp group going here at the moment and they're checking in. They're all listening online. Hi, everybody, all my friends in Mexico.
Buenos dias. Buenos dias. Oh, God, Fiona, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go because you need to clear up. Thank you so much for taking the time. I think people are interested in what you're doing and how you applied for your J1. I know the details. You've posted them up on the website or on the Instagram as well. Fiona Griffin, go on.
No, I was going to say, like, I've had several requests for help through Instagram, and I have a lovely contact in the State Department in Washington, Christian Dubois, and I'm going to visit the State Department next week with her. And she's great at coming back to me and letting me pass on the information that anybody looks for.
Super.
If I, you know, which is a fantastic resource to have as well.
Fiona, I love speaking to you. I could speak to you all day. And take care, mind yourself, and have a great adventure.
Thanks for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, Dublin Bricks have a Michael D. Higgins Lego set as well as loads of deadly Dublin pubs and Father Ted pieces. I didn't know that at all. The Michael D. Higgins set is called Brickle D. Higgins. Brickle D. Higgins. Check them out on Instagram, says Kate. And can you go and see them in the flesh? That's the question. I have to find that out. Forget Lego. What I'd love to see and hear is the Reardons, the musical. Oh my God. Benji! I think that'll be fabulous. I would. That and a Harbour Hotel. Do anybody remember Harbour Hotel? I loved Harbour Hotel. Oh my God. And then there was another one after that. River Run was the one that came after that as well. I used to love that, sitting in the car with my dad listening to that. Good afternoon, Shay. I listen to your morning show most mornings. I don't hear the birds, but I hear your voice instead. Well, I do apologise, Marie. I'm doing my walk now, Fossa Way in Killarney. Oh, what a beautiful place to be. So really, now listening to the birds, I would agree, they're just beautiful to hear. And of course, along with your voice, Marie, I love you. Hope you enjoyed your extra time at home this morning. I had a 5-hour lie on this morning and I was still up before 9 o'clock. Yeah, there we go. 5 hours. Shay, I actually worked in US camp teaching sailing and windsurfing about 30 years ago, and it was a fabulous experience. I did it on my J1 visa in my second year in college, and that is from Fiona. Now, like most of you, I'm a massive fan of the actor, the multi-talented actor, Stanley Tucci. So you can imagine I got a little bit excited yesterday when I went to meet him in Dublin's Thomas Street, a beautiful building there. He's known for his love of good food and travel, as well as his wonderful acting skills, all of which came up in our little conversation. And we're going to get to that in just a couple of minutes after a little bit of Wild Youth. I'm sitting here with the inimitable Stanley Tucci, the actor, director, author, and he starred in over 70 movies, including The Devil Wears Prada, Julie and Julia, The Lovely Bones, alongside the wonderful Saoirse Ronan, for which he has earned his first Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor. We should call you Sir Stanley Tucci at this stage. He's also known for his love of good food, has travelled and tasted his way around Italy in a show called Stanley Tucci, Searching for Italy. That's an unusual title.
It is.
He must have taken ages to come up with that.
Yeah.
And of course, he had the internet all shaken up over lockdown thanks to his Negroni making skills. He's in Dublin for the International Literary Festival, and today he's launching Tanqueray 10's new summer cocktail serve called the Tiny 10. Welcome to Ireland.
Thank you.
Would you've been here a few times? This is not your first time.
I have. I haven't been here for quite a while. I was here for the film festival. That must have been about 7 years ago or more.
You've Irish friends, though, as well. Obviously, Saoirse Ronan now is a friend.
Saoirse, although I haven't seen her for a very long time. My friend Aidan Quinn, who just came into town. We just crossed each other in the airport.
Really? Yeah, he's here? Yeah. He's a regular visitor. Well, he lived here as well.
He was born in the States, when he was younger.
He lived in Offaly and Dublin as well, and his late brother, of course, as well. So great guys.
Yeah, wonderful.
Are they friends back home?
Yeah,
when you were in the States? I know you live in London now.
Yeah, I live in London now, but we've been friends for almost 35 years.
Wow.
Probably 35 years, yeah.
And what tips has he given you when you're over here? Anything you need to try? Any place you need to go?
He'll just show me. I'll just follow him.
You know, that's only going to last a few hours, Stanley. That's short-term thinking. You're only going to make one, maybe two places. You do know that. What about Irish food? Is there anything in particular you want to try when you're here? I know living in London, like, there's a lot of Irish influence in London and vice versa, but is there anything you've been told? I know you went out on Instagram and said, anything you'd recommend?
Yeah. No, we're going to a couple restaurants. My wife has booked everything. She's much better than I am. I sort of just show up and go like, where should I eat, you know? But she's organized it. Where they are, I can't tell you, or what they are, I can't tell you. But I'm excited. Last time I was here, like I said, it was a while ago, but we had some really great food.
No, there's lots of great small Irish producers as well, and the restaurants all around here where you are now and other places, they have local produce, fabulous cheeses and charcuterie, etc. as well. A couple of things to avoid, steak on a stone. Ever had steak on a stone?
No, I've heard of that.
That is one of the worst things ever.
Yeah, why do they do that?
Because it's interactive, to be playful. They bring you out this slab that looks like a breadboard with a hot slate on it. They half cook your steak without charring it. And yeah. then they expect you to finish cooking it, and they give you three
Do they
sauces.
Give you a discount for that?
So when I go and they say, steak on a stone, I said, let the chef cook it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of the point of the chef, isn't it?
You don't need to be
And doing. Going to a restaurant.
Can you imagine going to Italy with a steak on a stone?
No. No. My father-in-law goes to Portugal, and he goes to a place where they have a steak on a stone.
Does he like it?
Yeah, he likes it.
Hey, listen.
He says it's really good.
What's the wine recommendation with steak on a stone?
Oh, I don't know. Something soft.
Something soft. Something soft. Easy. Easy to drink. That's the general thing that we look for. In searching for Italy, you went through each region of it, and we watched it, and we loved it. And you just looked like you were enjoying yourself. I mean, that didn't look like work. Come on.
It doesn't look like work, but I'm an actor. It's a lot of logistics, and it's a lot of time. It's a lot of traveling.
Sure.
So those are the hard parts. Meeting all the people and getting to taste all that food and wine is amazing. It's really the logistics of doing it, getting there, and you know.
Oh, well, with TV production, you got to walk away from something and you got to walk towards it.
Yeah.
And you got to walk side. See, everything is shot four times. And
yeah.
Close-ups. And
yeah.
What did you say the last time? Just say that again, Stanley. I don't remember what I said.
No,
the last
I
time.
Actually don't do that. I said we're not doing that for the most part because it takes too long, and if we can capture it as. I want to also be able to capture things as spontaneously as possible. So we'll have three cameras. I don't want to have to repeat it because it's also unfair to the contributor who's doing it because they're not actors. They're not used to doing that. So the more spontaneous we can be, the better for everybody.
Well, you don't get to do that in movies, so it's good to be able to do it on...
Yes, gorgeous.
Endless take after take after take. I'm going to my trailer.
Yeah. And never coming back.
Being an Italian on both sides.
On both sides.
Very important to say.
Yes.
Traveling there as well. Were you welcomed? Were you accepted by the people when you went to talk about food? Did you talk about your Italian heritage? What did they...
Oh, yeah. No, people were incredibly... The Italians are very generous and very welcoming. They make it easy. They actually make it really easy. I had lived in Florence when I was young. So I spoke Italian, and I studied again before I did the show because I hadn't really spoken a lot for the last 50 years. So that was very helpful. And, you know, even if you can just say a few sentences, they're very forgiving.
It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Yeah.
I spend a good bit of time in Spain, and I find that as well. If you make an effort, they might laugh at you for a few minutes while you've suggested that you'll have something that they've never heard of before, and even the Spanish people have never heard of your pronunciation of something.
Right, No, but they're very giving and very welcoming, unlike the Parisians.
Unlike the Parisians. I just got that there. When you ask a question in French and they go, it's okay, we speak English. Yeah, kind of answer.
And they just walk away.
Yeah. Although there is a restaurant in Paris which I want to go to, and it just serves green salad, steak, and fries. That's all it serves. And they have an amazing green sauce, pepper-based green sauce that goes with it.
Oh, really?
And you pay a set fee, and you can have two servings of steak and two servings of fries and a green salad to start, and I think some great bread. So we'll try and find out the name of that.
Meal.
That sounds fab.
Oh, my God.
That's a steak frite.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, the kids are young, your young children that you have. I know you've got older children as well. You've got young children. Do you bring them with you to Italy and let them enjoy?
They did come. They came when we did Venice. They came for about a week. And that was really, really great to have them there. And, you know, it's hard sometimes because of the schedule. But we try to keep our days as tight as possible so that people get a chance to relax in the evenings. So it was great when they were there.
Well, I brought two to Seville, beautiful Sevilla in southern Spain.
Yeah.
One ate Burger King and McDonald's, and one ate black pudding, blood pudding, fried fish.
Fascinating.
So you just never know what you're going to get.
No,
so
you don't.
Are they adventurous?
My son, who's 8, is becoming much more adventurous. His sister, who's 5, we just went to Bordeaux for like a few days and stayed in this little place by the ocean, and she basically ate baguette, you know, for 3 days. And he tried everything.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't like everything, but at least he tried it.
Yeah. You're in Ireland doing a literary festival as well. And your book has been very successful. And it's gone to paperback, which is a really good sign.
I know.
You haven't even tried to sell one copy of it since you started speaking to me.
No. I don't don't have to. They're all sold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been incredibly successful. We were so happy. I'm so happy about it. And in fact, a fella in the airport this morning came up to me with a copy of the book, and he said, I just bought this. He goes, I read about one book every 10 years. And he said, I can't believe it. So I signed the book for him.
Oh.
But it was really sweet, and it's beyond what I could have imagined.
We had it in the office on the desk, and it was the most sought-after book, because people go, oh, can I have that when you're finished? I had to lock it in my desk. In
really?
Case. Yeah, yeah. I think it's because your picture's on it, but that's another point. Last question, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
You're in Ireland, and you've got an ability to invite a lot of Irish people to a dinner. Is there anybody in particular that you could imagine having a dinner party with? I know Saoirse Ronan will be there. Aidan Quinn will be there and his family. Mm-hmm. Who else might you invite?
Oh, God. Jeez. What about... Gabriel Byrne, he doesn't live here, does he?
Yeah. Well, he comes and goes. He's a great character.
I love him. I saw his one-man show. A friend of ours said, you know, you got to go see this. And it was absolutely stunning. Brilliant.
Sonny, thank you very much for speaking to us. It's lovely to see you. And the sun is shining especially for you. We ordered it.
I know. I'm thrilled.
You know, because they don't have it in London today, I'm told, this morning.
No, we had sun for the last 2 days, and that was the first time in 7 years or something. Yeah.
Look, thanks for being here. I mean, you can come back and see us soon.
I will.
Brilliant. Stanley Tucci, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The mention of the Reardons, a number of people have sent in a phrase, a well-known phrase, says, get up the yard, there's a spell of Benji off you. What? I have never heard that before. Would love to see Glenn Rowe in Lego form to mark the 40th anniversary with Biddy and Miley and maybe Fidelma too. Do you mean the three of them at the same time? Or do you mean, I don't know what you mean. Anyway, that's fabulous. We'd love to see that too. Okay. She's celebrated more than three decades of hits with her band Texas, and now her Irish fans will get to see her on stage outdoors later this year, because Texas are playing a gig as part of the Trinity Summer Series on Monday the 26th of June. And Charlene Spiteri has very kindly taken the time to come on the line to us. Charlene, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. I'm enjoying listening to Stanley Tucci there.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Oh, he's such a lovely man.
Yeah, I have to say, everybody, men, women, anybody who was there, were very impressed with him in lots of different ways, with his suave sophistication, his fashion, a bit like yourself.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I can tell you, we were all very excited to speak to you today. Big fans, and you've been on our Radio 1 playlists over and over again over the years. And I know that you'll be on them again, because we were talking about the new Greatest Hits album with the two new songs on it as well. So we're very excited to have you. And I know that you were in Ireland quite recently. You played a gig here quite recently, in a theatre gig.
We did a couple in Ireland, which was great, and we certainly enjoyed it as always. You know, it's always a good one to go and play. There's always, you know, you lot know how to party, and you know how to have a good time.
That's where the crossover with Scotland helps. You know, life is very similar.
We get each other.
We do.
We just get each other, don't we?
You know, like when I speak to, like you speak to Irish artists as well, when they grew up, there was, you know, there was a piano in the sitting room. There was parties where people came back from the pub on a Sunday and there was sing songs.
Totally.
And I think that's the same in Scotland.
100%. I mean, I think that was, you know, I've been telling the story for years about, you know, standing in the doorway waiting for my turn to go on and sing 10 guitars for somebody. Well, my cousin was singing I Once Had a Dear Old Mother, and me thinking that is the worst version I've ever heard in my life, and that's not even worthy of singing. And then literally me getting on and being able to clear a room of all the aunties. They're like, oh, we'll go make a wee cup of tea or get a drink or whatever. And I think that's why I ended up being a musician. I think it scarred me for life.
Oh my God, I'd love to, you know, had there been a video of that now, that's what we would have loved to see.
I know, you know, I literally, my daughter, we were clearing out yesterday, we were clearing out the house because we're getting our kitchen damp proof, don't even talk to me. So we're clearing out that yesterday, and we found like this old like flip camera, and it's like, there was loads of footage on it. My daughter like downloads on her computer, and it's her when she's really like young, and I said, and even just hearing her voice, like hearing her little young voice, I mean, she's 21 now, and I'm thinking, God, could you imagine, like, if we could, I mean, I would die to hear my own little voice, at, you know, at 4 years old or whatever.
Ah, well, we were talking about in the office before you came on. We were talking about the new album, The Best Of, 89 to 23. That's 34 years.
I know. I ain't no spring chicken anymore.
You haven't changed a bit. What are you talking about?
That's just because your eyes are gone.
That's true.
You know, I know the limitations because I know my eyes have gone, so I know yours have gone. But it's funny. I mean, I feel obviously very, very proud to be putting this record out. You know, we put like it says, I think it was 20 years ago, and I thought that was yesterday, and then suddenly, you know, there was a whole load of other hit records that we'd made since then, and I was like, oh wow. Oh, I didn't realise we had so many other songs that had not appeared on any of that. And it was like, yep. So it felt like the right time. And, you know, we're doing festivals all summer this year. As you know, we're coming to the Trinity Sessions. We've got Glastonbury. And, you know, who knows, maybe we're going to, like, you know, play to, I imagine we're going to play to a load of people that have never seen Texas before, and maybe it's the right time for us to put out a very best of.
Yeah, but what I like about you, like, you have 10 studio albums, there's the live stuff, but you have the 10 studio albums. Like, you've sold 40 million records, but you still hold your own when you come out on the stage with a new audience. Some bands don't, some rely on nostalgia. They do, I have to tell you, they do, because I go to a lot of live gigs and we see stuff in studio. People rely on nostalgia to get the crowd going, and their songs don't stand up, and particularly their new material doesn't stand up. But actually, you're playing drums on one of the new songs.
Yeah, I play drums on the current single that's out at the moment, After All. And yeah, I think a lot of people were quite shocked for that video. I was literally summoning my inner Clem Burke and Dave Grohl. I was a bit like, it was really good fun. I actually learned to play drums for that video.
No way.
I learned in 8 days. I'd messed around. I'm a musician, so I messed around on drums and played little things and done percussion and all this records because, you know, I have a natural rhythm, but I'd never played drums in a whole song, and I have to say, I mean, I have such a weird relationship with drummers that they're my favourite and they're my most hated member of the band because, you know, some drummers will just play all over you and you try to sing and they're just smashing it and you're like, get away from me. And then when you get a great drummer, it's like the best thing in the world because they just pull the whole band together, and it's just that moment is like a heartbeat where it's just like pulsing, it's just going with you, and you're drawn in. So it's, I have like a love hate relationship with drums, and for this, our drummer Kat gave me drum lessons, and you know, it was like, you know, it's typical Johnny, my songwriting partner and the bass player in Texas, like, why don't you drum in the video? And I was like, oh yeah, why don't I do something else? And that was how it started. And I was like, well, why can't we just do like somebody in a big like dress up outfit like they did on that advert, and then literally like I'll just pull the hat off, and it wasn't really me playing drums in the first place, but people might think it is. And they were like, no, you need to play the drums. And I was like, oh god. So that was what happened, and I've got to tell you, I absolutely loved it. So get ready for the next Texas tour. I think there'll be an extra drum kit on the stage.
Is that an exclusive? Can we say in Trinity on the summer series on the 26th of June you're going to play the drums?
I'll not be that. It'll be like when we go out on the big Texas tour. It will not be for the festivals. Not yet. I'm not ready yet.
We took a vote and we were going to play this, but we were running out of time because you're brilliant, and thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Sometimes when we talk to people on the phone, they give us 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Like, we could talk again. We could talk to you all day, but the vote, I'm going to play it on, I have another show next week which I'm going to play, but the vote was for Black Eyed Boy. That was where the vote went today. So there you go. Charlene Spiteri, thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and it was brilliant talking to you.
It's an absolute pleasure.
I'm looking forward to seeing you at the gig. Take care. Have a great day. Agus an éisc tosé an am den nuacht a léibh ag marad de Valish. Gur amata gat a vaira. Oh, by the way, I mentioned that in the Stanley Tucci interview, I mentioned a particular restaurant, Le Relais d'Entrecôte. Is the name of the restaurant. You can sit down, you can have steak frites Now, that's all they serve, as I said, but it's called Le Relais de l'Entrecôte. And if you go to London or Paris, you can find a branch of it. It's renowned for its single course menu. It's a walnut salad. I thought it was a green salad, but it's a walnut salad, followed by an extra tender sirloin steak with its favourite secret green sauce and homemade French fries. And when you sit down, they'll ask you, how do you want your steak cooked? And what would you like to drink? And that's it. They don't ask you anything else. What's the best part? When you finish your steak and fries, if you finish your massive portion of steak and fries, which there's no doubt that I would, you receive your second helpings free of charge. Isn't that lovely? Shay, I'm surprised you're not into steak on a stone. It's fantastic. I don't know. There's something about, there's a particular pizza restaurant in town, and if four of you go in to sit down to have your pizza, they bring you out the pizzas and they're not cut, and they give you little cutters. And then you have to start cutting your own. And then inevitably, especially when I'm with the kids, they're like, will you cut mine for me? I'm like, I have to cut yours now. And there's only one. Why don't you give us two pizza cutters? Like, it's not making me angry. I'm just a bit frustrated. And inevitably, you cut the slices the wrong way. You cut one massive slice with two tiny slivery slices. And then, like, what do? You eat the small slice first? Or you eat the big slice first? These are real problems. It's the whodunit quiz. That is very exciting. This is very exciting. We've got two players on the line, and we're going to talk to our first player. They know how to play the quiz today. Our first player is Mr. Donal Molloy from Terranure in Dublin. Donal, how are you?
Hi, Shay. How are things?
Well, it's great to talk to you today. What are you up to today?
I'm working on my car in Dublin.
Ah, are you with a particular station or are you with a particular division?
In the special detective unit.
Okay, well, I'm just going to leave the station right now. I'll be, don't find... It's great. What time are you on duty?
3 to 1.
3 to 1. And how long have you been a guard?
Too long, 25 years.
Oh, right. Okay, so from Templemore to also, probably all over the country as well, or at least all over Dublin in different stations.
Yeah, well, I was 7 years just down the road from there in Donnybrook, and then from there into Special Detective Unit.
Okay, well, it's great to have you, lad.
18, yeah.
Any plans for the weekend?
Not really. Probably catch the match tomorrow, I think, with the lads or whatever. So
come on, Leinster! Come on, Leinster! There's the guys. Are you one of the guys?
No, I'm not one of the guys. No, I'm more of a GAA man, but for the big final, I think I'll have to watch it all right.
And who's at home listening to this now?
Well, Daniel and Isabel are at home and Laura's in work. So Daniel is 14 and Isabel's 15.
Hello, Daniel, and hello, Isabel. And they are delighted to be out of school for the weekend. I'm sure that they literally come in, throw their bags in the hall or in the sit room, and that's it. They're not opened again. Is there anybody?
Exactly, they barely make it into the hall.
I know that feeling. Come on, you must remember that as well. Running down the road on a Friday, after primary school, your bag swinging on your back, delighted to get out of the place. Have you got exams this year in the house?
Yeah, Isabel at the junior cert, yeah.
All right, and she's studying hard, I'm sure.
Studying hard, yeah, of course. That's what she tells us anyway.
I'm going upstairs to study. Yeah, right. We were talking to Fiona earlier about J1s. Have you ever been on one?
No, I stayed at home working during the summers, actually. I worked cutting trees for Dublin Bus.
Oh, were you one of the people? Because if you haven't seen this in Dublin, there's an old double-decker bus that they've converted. They've literally taken the roof off. It's like one of the tour buses. And that is used, they go along, they drive along, and if it impinges on the buses, they cut them. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah, we clipped the branches off, yeah. It was my summers for 3 years.
Wow. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was great, yeah, yeah. That's why I ended up in special branch, the lads say.
Hey! Ba-dum-tsh! We should have a sound effect for that. Go over to Tubby's card wall and get that sound effect. Ba-dum-tsh! Donal, thank you very much. Stay on the line. Emily King is in Tumen, County Galway. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Shay. How are you doing?
I'm fabulous. What are you up to today?
Well, I'm just having a nice chill-out Friday for myself. I will be heading out the door shortly to bring my little one to swimming lessons, and that's about as exciting as it's getting in this house today.
Swimming lessons on a warm day as you sit in the pool and your clothes smell like chlorine and all you can hear is, hey, David! Yes, I've been. And do you have
absolutely.
To... Is there the parental rush 5 minutes before the end of the lesson then to get to the changing rooms?
The feeling you've been there, Shay. Absolutely. That's exactly what happens.
I've been there. And when you open the door of the changing room, somebody's bag is hanging up. You're not supposed to leave your bag hanging up. You can't reserve
something
one.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen it get violent. Any plans for the weekend, for Saturday, Sunday?
Well, Yeah, well, we're headed down to family in Clare tomorrow for the weekend, just to celebrate my nephew's birthday. He turned one there last week. So, yeah, hopefully the weather will hold up for us and we'll have a great time down in Clare.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Which part of Clare?
Just Shannon, just outside Shannon. So, yeah, you know, not too far. About an hour down the motorway would be grand. We'll be down in no time.
Super. Are you any good at quizzes?
Well, we're about to find out.
Now you're up against a special branch here, but
yeah, I know. A bonus point there for a little joke at the end.
Okay, so you've heard this quiz before. You know how it works. We're going to this week. We're going to start with Irish music, and contestant one is Donal, and we're going to start with you, mm-hmm. Donal. Now remember how this works. So there are three questions. Our first category is going to be Irish music. You get 1 point with a clue, or 2 points if you go with no clue and you get it right. So, Donal, what would you like to do?
I'll go for 2 points, please, Shay.
Serious? You're no clue on this one. No, I'm sure you have a clue, if you know what I mean, but you're not getting a clue. That's what I mean. It's my first time doing this. I'm very scary. I don't know how Ray does this every day. Okay, ready for this?
Yep.
Who is this Irish band?
The Saw Doctors,
Shay. It is the Saw Doctors. That's 2 points. Very good, Donald. No pressure, Emily. We're early in the quiz. This is only going to last another 2 to 3 hours of agony. Okay, here we go. It's Irish music. 1 point with a clue. 2 points for no clue. What would you like to do?
I'll try 2 points.
We're all going for it today. Okay, who is this Irish band?
There's a black cat lying in the shadow of a gatepost. The black cat tells me that look is on its way. Don't go, don't lay down now. While the sun smiles, stick around, laugh away.
Emily?
Hot House Flowers?
It is the Hot House Flowers. 2 points. All tied at 2 points, 2 all as we head into question 2 for Donal. Our second category is animated characters. How are you on animated characters, Donal?
I'm not too sure, but I'll try for 2 anyway, I think.
Go for 2. Who is this animated character?
To infinity and beyond! Star Command, come in. Do you read me?
I've crash-landed on a strange planet. The impact must have awoken me from hypersleep. Terrain seems a bit unstable. No readout yet if the air is breathable. And there seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Buzz Lightyear, say?
It is. Of course it's Buzz Lightyear. That's a true story. That actually really happened to him. So that's 2 points for you. That's 4 plays 2, but you have a question in hand. Emily, here we go. This is your second question. What would you like to do?
I'll try two points.
Okay. Very nervous now. We're holding my breath here. Here we go. Who is this animated character?
I'll keep it short and sweet. Family, religion, friendship. These are the three demons you must slay if you wish to succeed in business. When opportunity knocks, you don't want to be driving to the maternity hospital or sitting in some phony baloney church. Questions?
Emily?
I have to pass on that, I'm afraid, Shay.
Oh no, he's yellow. He's skinny, and he's Homer Simpson's boss. Does that help?
Oh,
they're
yeah,
not going to get
Mr.
the point.
Burns.
It's Mr. Burns.
No, I know, yeah.
Charles
okay.
Montgomery Burns. Okay, so that's 4 plays 2. You got the advantage now. Donald, what do you want to do? The third category is Irish voices. 1 point with a clue, 2 points with no clue.
I suppose she'll go for the clue, so...
You're going to go for the clue. You're going to play it safe.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get this right, game over. Okay. Not in life, Emily. I mean, life still goes on, so don't worry about it. I just felt that was a bit dramatic. It was a bit over a quiz show dramatic. Okay, third category, Irish voices. Here's the clue. Are you ready, Donal?
Yep.
She could run away, but she'd leave you breathless.
I think it just was the fact of having done it for so long. You know, I had loved music so much when I was younger. I wanted to go back to that kind of naively loving something. Do you know what I mean? Just for what it is. And you can get bogged down with so many other things when you're, I suppose, in a successful band. That's kind of the fallout of it. It's not that bad. But I wanted to kind of have a normal life and not be a singer in a band for a bit.
I'll go with Andrea Corr.
Is it Andrea Corr? It is Andrea Corr. It is Andrea Corr. That's two. That's a clean sweep. 6 points, plays two with a question at hand. But you cannot. You can't. Or five. Excuse me. 5 points because you got one for that. But even if you got that next one right, Emily, you can't make it. You'd only score four. So I'm sure you would have got it right. So we'll say it was 5-4. Emily, thank you so much. I'm sorry that you didn't win.
Thank you so much. And congrats, Donald. Enjoy your stay.
Thanks, Emily.
Brilliant.
Thanks a million.
He was out in front with that joke at the start, Emily. I don't know if you're ever going to recover from that. It's ridiculous. look, we have a lovely Ray Keep Cup for you. It's very nice. We all have one in the office, and keep that for yourself. And enjoy the weekend in Clare as well. Emily, thank you very much. And that's Emily. Now, Donald, your prize, in case you didn't hear it at the start, you're off to Photo Island Resort. Two nights, two adults, two children in a lodge with breakfast each morning. And you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time.
That's brilliant, Shay. I was actually working down there on Wednesday, so it'll be lovely to go back and stay.
Well, brilliant. Have a fantastic time and thanks for taking part in the quiz today.
Thanks, Shay. Can I just
play? The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Well, they love the quiz. You love when we talk to Charlene Spiteri, and you wanted to hear Black Eyed Boy from Texas. So here it is. That's Texas, that's Black Eyed Boy. Mark Moriarty's here with us, who's a chef. Mark, are you a music fan as well?
I am, but I have very generic taste in music, so I don't know if I should say it or not.
Well, of course you can. We're all friends here. It's only you and me. Nobody's listening now because I'm on.
I've probably been to 8 Coldplay shows around the world.
Around the world. You see, that's very exotic, Mark.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some of us have just been down to the Noggin.
But
Inn
I don't like
Sally
saying
Noggin.
That to, like, music people, because that's a bit kind of
I'm not a music
bland,
person.
Isn't it?
I've got a bit of every. I've got the best of Elton John, the best. I like everything. I find people who talk about music in a snobbish kind of way, well, I only listen to this. Listen to everything. Like, we had a very sad day today that the guitarist from the Smiths, the news of him coming through, Andy, had passed away. And, you know, the bass guitar player, like, just music is music. Like, it doesn't matter. But the fact that you follow Coldplay around the world, what's the most exotic location you got to see them?
Oh, Stade de France in Paris, my favourite city. Because I got to eat all day and then go see them that evening.
We were talking about a restaurant there earlier that's in Paris, Le Relais d'Entrecôte, which is the steak restaurant that just serves steak and frites and a green
and
kind
the green
of
sauce. I've seen it.
What's
on
the green sauce made of?
I don't know. I haven't, like, when I go to Paris, I go to Bistro Paul Bert every time
for God's
without
sake.
Fail, which is like going back to 1920s. It's what do they give you? Four courses. It's about 50 quid for the four courses. And they give you the cheese. But what they do is they give you the whole board. They're dressed in their white. They give you the whole board and they go 5 minutes. And you can use as much cheese as you want. And next thing, they rip it off you and they hand it to the next table. And they give the cheese board around. And it's my favourite restaurant in the world.
I'd definitely get to work with two of those. No problem. It'd be like, you know, it's like all the all-inclusive drinks on the cruise when the Irish people arrive. They're like, oh yes, we have all-inclusive. Like, the bar is empty. And we went cycling around France on a Paris to Nice cycle for charity. And when we got to these little three-star hotels, they literally had four glasses. Yeah. And the 30 Irish people arrive in going sweaty, full of Lycra and going, beer!
Straight into it.
One of the little cafes we went to, they had to take down the souvenir glasses that were hanging around the wall and wash them out. What's the name of that restaurant?
Le Bistro Paul Bert. I think it's in the 8th District. Anyway, the French, they just do everything right when it comes to food and wine, don't they?
Arrondissement. But do they do barbecue though? Do they use a grill?
Do they? I'm sure they do.
So you don't know. Don't lie to me.
They do. I'd say they do everything well.
They probably use that little, what's that little Japanese grill?
The Hibachi. Kondro grill, yeah.
The Hibachi,
yeah.
Are you a barbecue fan? Because that's what we're supposed to be talking about. It's a grace.
Yeah, I know. It's like most of these things. No, I am a barbecue fan. A lot of the time when I'm designing recipes or when I'm cooking at home, it's like, how do I make the least amount of wash up? Because I can't stand that. And generally, if I'm cooking outside in the barbecue, you can just close the lid at the end, enjoy the food, and there's not much to do after in the kitchen. So I enjoy that part of it.
That's the problem. There are 140,000 people listening who have barbecues who are now thinking, I covered it or put it in the shed and I didn't clean it.
I actually, and this is no word of a lie, I actually did it this morning. I opened it up last week and I was like, ugh, when the sun came out, I was like, no, I can't, but I will organise myself now to give myself an hour. So this morning was the project, and it wasn't pretty. It was like a science lab in there.
How did you clean it?
Caustic soda. Just sprayed it with, we use oven cleaner in the restaurants now. It's not great for you.
You gotta be really careful with oven cleaner. So you know, when you're on the radio and someone says oven cleaner, you go, please don't try this at home.
Don't
please
try
wear
it
gloves
at home.
Eye protection and but there are actually specialist cleaners for barbecues you can buy in the hardware shops as well, which aren't quite as, you're a professional.
If you're
so
really
you're
lazy,
using,
you can hire someone to do it as well. They come
to
your house.
Yeah, the people who clean ovens clean barbecues as well. I only found that out the other day.
Yeah, that's, they come to your house and do it all for you.
That's very exciting. Yeah, but you know, a bit of elbow grease. You know, a cold can of Coke or something beside you and just work away at it. And the other thing as well is turn the barbecue on. That's the tip I got.
Burn it all off.
To turn the barbecue on high, sit there for 10 minutes with the lid closed and then let it cool down and then clean it. And actually it's much easier to clean as well
because
any fat gets burned off or any cobwebs or spider's nests.
Or furry things if you looked at mine this morning.
Oh. I was listening to you talking about barbecues before, and you mentioned a way of making the grill non-stick. What was that?
Well, there's a couple of ways, because it's obviously one of the biggest issues people have. Heat, like, often the reason things stick is because things aren't hot enough. So if you put a steak in a pan that's too cold, it's probably likely to stick, and the only way to get it to unstick is to keep the heat on full blast till it heats up, and that will actually create separation. Obviously if you use non-stick pans, it's easier. A little bit more difficult on the barbecue, so make sure it's white hot if you're using charcoal, or on the gas, I would give it a good half an hour of full blast before I cook anything. And then if you're really stuck, I did learn this trick off a friend of mine, a 2 Michelin star chef. If you brush your, particularly fish and things like that, in mayonnaise, so like a standard mayonnaise you buy, brush it onto your raw meat, get it onto the barbecue, and it will never stick. Don't ask me the science behind it.
Will it burn though? Will it the mayonnaise burn and go black?
It doesn't. It's because it's basically like an oil base. Like mayonnaise is about 90% oil. So it's basically creating a film or a layer between the surface of your meat or whatever it is and the grates. So that gives it a little bit of leeway, like you would stick oil on a pan. Obviously, don't use homemade mayonnaise because it'll break down really, really quickly. But there's certain chemicals, emulsifiers in the standard mayonnaise that definitely help. And just, I always thought that was a handy trick, brushing with mayonnaise, throw your piece of salmon or a piece of monkfish, whatever might be on the barbecue, it'll never stick.
Yeah, but that's one of the things about, and people are texting it about, what about fish on the barbecue? Too messy.
Well, that's the thing. It depends on what fish you pick. So there's a classic way with oily fish like salmon or mackerel, things like that. I'd put a little layer of tinfoil down because tinfoil will take very, very high heat, and I'd cook it there on the barbecue. But meatier fish, be it a piece of, I love monkfish on the bone, or even monkfish off the bone if you ask your fishmonger. Good meaty, chunky white fish, like something maybe like, what would be, cod can be often a little bit watery, but tuna steaks, things like that, that have a bit more dense. Heavy oil, really hot barbecue, no problem. And if, like that texter asked, if you're really struggling, get the mayonnaise on it, stick it on there and just watch.
Better work. I'm going to try that at the at the weekend. Can you barbecue mushrooms? They can be a great alternative to burgers.
Yeah, the problem with mushrooms is they can go really dry and leathery at the start. So what I do with things like that is I get my tinfoil again, which is my best friend. Get my mushrooms in, leave them whole, no peeling. Touch of oil, a little bit of seasoning salt, which will dry out the moisture. And I would start them for the first half, maybe 5-10 minutes, in the barbecue in the tinfoil. And what will happen is it will create steam, which will soften them. Then open it out, pull off the mushrooms onto your flames for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and you'll get that lovely charred outside, but it'll still be nice and moist inside.
I had a burger in London. I was working in London a few weeks ago, and in Shoreditch they had a portobello mushroom as the burger. Well, I can tell you now, because they put so much flavour into it as well. There was salt, it was soya sauce, there was seasoning in it. It was amazing. I was very surprised in a brioche bun.
Yeah, we've done it before where you like that mushrooms again, you do them in your oven. A little bit of butter, keep the mushrooms whole.
These are giant mushrooms.
Big, giant portobellos, yeah. Bit of salt, soy sauce in there, and cook it maybe in a low oven about 120 degrees for 2 hours. What it does is it almost like confies the mushroom, so they go that really soft texture but hold their sort of meatiness, and then cook them off like that, and they are, with the soy sauce and all the bits of umami and ingredients like that, they're as meaty as you'll get from a vegetable.
Is umami the fifth taste?
That's it was a fancy word for a while. It's basically, I always describe umami like MSG. It's like, why do you taste Pringles and you just want more? It's that flavour of don't know what that is, but I want more of it.
I'm like that with Hunky Dory, so I have to tell you. They brought out prawn cocktail a couple of weeks ago. I was like, give me those now, get them. I like the large sausages you can buy in the German supermarkets, but find they're very hard to cook on the barbecue. You always burn the outside almost raw on the inside.
Yeah, that's
so one. There's a Bratwurst or something like that.
Yeah, those big ones. One with sausages, particularly, that's like key with barbecue is managing your heat. I would say what I do a lot of the time with that is I'll have my oven on, say, 180 degrees, so with things like sausages, often chicken thighs, things with bone in, cook them in the oven, those sausages, maybe for about half an hour at 180 degrees, to make sure they're completely cooked through. Don't get them too dark on the outside, so they can be slightly white, and then I'll finish them for the last 5 minutes, get them really charred, get nice smoke on the outside, and you know then that they're cooked the whole way through when you start.
Would you boil them, maybe? Could you boil them first?
You could absolutely, yeah. Like, you talk about high-end restaurants and like cooking meat before you actually serve it, like water baths, things like that. You're cooking meat like hours before you actually serve it, so you know it's perfectly cooked the whole way through, and then you're generally just finishing in service, same way you do for a barbecue at home.
How's the TV going for you?
It's good, yeah. I'm always surprised when people send you emails or messages or follow you on Instagram or stop you in the street and say, really enjoyed your show, and you forget that people are actually watching it. And even more so when people send you photos of their recreations of the dishes. It's wow. It hasn't lost its novelty factor. It's great to see people cooking, and particularly all types of people, young, old, from all over the country. You forget when you're in a little studio just banging out your dishes that it goes around the country.
We enjoy the program at home. You make it look easy. And actually, when you go to do them, it really is. Look, Mark, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
If there's any issues about the barbecue, I'll get Ray to talk to you on Monday about it. So that's it from us today. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Drive Time with Sarah and Cormac. Have a lovely weekend, whatever you're up to.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.